All right, let's dive into Isaiah chapter 7. You know, it's got that prophecy about Emmanuel that's always causing a stir.
It really has.
We'll be looking at it through the lens of a lecture by Old Testament scholar Dr. Marv Wilson. He's coming at it from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
But even if you're not coming from that background, the history and all the language stuff, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what's so cool about this deep dive is that it's not just about like old texts and stuff. It makes us think about like what is faith? What is prophecy? And how do we like make sense of this stuff centuries later?
Right. Okay, so first let's set the scene, right? We're talking roughly 735 BC,
Okay.
and the kingdom of Judah, they're facing a serious threat, right? From Israel and Syria. They're ganging up on them. They're about to attack Jerusalem. So King Ahaz is in a real bind here.
He is. He's in a tough spot.
He's got to make a choice, and he's got to make it fast.
That's right. So this is where things get juicy. Ahaz, he's tempted to make a deal with the Assyrian Empire, right?
Okay.
They were like the big, scary superpower of the day, you know?
Right, so it's like making a pact with like the devil to protect yourself from like a bully.
Exactly. Ancient realpolitik.
Ancient Near East style.
There you go.
But here comes the prophet Isaiah.
Oh yeah, here comes Isaiah.
And he's got this message from God, and he's basically saying, don't put your trust in these power plays. You got to trust the promises God made to your ancestors.
And this is where the meaning of faith gets really interesting. The Hebrew word that Isaiah uses here, emunah.
Immuna, okay.
It's not just like a casual belief, you know, it's like this deep, unshakable certainty.
So it's not just saying I believe, it's more like that bedrock certainty we say when we say like I am, you know.
Exactly. Yes, it's that so be it. Like this is rooted in the unchanging nature of God, you know? Like God is truth.
Okay.
But Ahaz, well, he's not feeling very immune, I'll tell
Yes,
you.
not.
He's wavering. He's thinking about that Assyrian deal.
Right.
So God says, "Look, I'll give you a sign," right, to confirm his promise
Okay.
to like bolster Ahaz's faith.
Yeah, you'd think a king, you know, about to be invaded would just jump at the chance, right?
You'd think, but Ahaz, he's pretty set on his path. He refuses the sign. He basically says, "Thanks, but I feel I'll handle this myself."
He's like totally missing the point here.
Totally missing the point. And this is when Isaiah delivers his famous prophecy, "The Alma will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
And cue the controversy. This word Alma has sparked like endless debate. So does it always mean virgin? You know, like in the sense of Virgo intacta,
Right.
which is Latin for untouched virgin.
That's where Dr. Wilson's really good. You know, he really gets into the ancient Hebrew
Yeah.
and he comes to a surprising conclusion. Alma does mean like a young woman of marriageable age, you know,
Okay.
but it doesn't automatically mean virgin in that strict sense.
So it's kind of like how we might say maiden in English, right? Which could be a young woman, but not necessarily someone who's never been with a man.
That's a great analogy. And Dr. Wilson, he has receipts. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, lay it on me.
He points to ancient legal documents like, you know, the Code of Hammurabi
Right.
and even the Septuagint, which is the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew
The
Bible.
Septuagint, yeah,
Yeah, okay.
okay.
So, you know, these ancient texts, they show that these folks, they were very careful with their words. Like,
Yeah.
if they wanted to make it crystal clear that a woman was a virgin, they used very specific
No
phrases.
ambiguity.
No ambiguity whatsoever. Dr. Wilson, he uses the example of Rebecca from Genesis, where the text specifically says no man had known her. So in Isaiah's time, this prophecy of the Alma, it probably had like a more immediate meaning. You know, this was a sign to King Ahaz and those folks in Judah who were facing a very real threat.
So are you saying there was a baby actually born to a young woman during this whole Syrian Israelite crisis?
That's right.
And that was proof of God's faithfulness.
Precisely. You know, it's even possible this child was born to Isaiah's own wife.
Oh, wow.
You know, to really demonstrate like God's protection in a very tangible way.
Right.
But here's where things get like even more interesting. Dr. Wilson, he proposes that this prophecy has a double meaning.
Hold on, a double meaning prophecy? I'm not sure I follow you.
Think of it like a seed, right? A seed has the potential to become this huge tree, right?
Right.
In the same way, this prophecy, it has an immediate fulfillment back in Isaiah's time,
Okay.
but it also points to like a deeper future fulfillment, the birth of Jesus.
So it's like On one level, it's a sign for King Ahaz, but on another level, it's like foreshadowing something much bigger.
Exactly. And the name Emmanuel, which means God with us,
right,
takes on a whole new dimension, you know, in light of the Christian belief that Jesus is God incarnate.
Right.
This prophecy, spoken centuries earlier, finds its ultimate fulfillment in the birth of Jesus. I mean, it's incredible.
This is incredible, yeah. It really makes you think about, like, the power of prophecy, right? And how it can kind of like unfold on multiple levels.
Yeah. And this is just the first layer of our deep dive. We're going to explore, you know, the implications for Christian theology and how this prophecy shaped beliefs about Mary, the mother of Jesus.
I'm hooked. Keep going.
You know, as we kind of dig deeper into this whole prophecy thing, it's important to remember what Dr. Wilson was saying, right? Like, context is key.
Right.
We can't just isolate a word like Balma and build a whole doctrine around it without understanding how it was like used back then.
Yeah, he showed us how words like Alma, Bichilla, even that Greek word Parthenos.
Right.
And they could have like different meanings depending on the specific context. It's like trying to decipher a secret code.
Exactly. And the Bible, you know, with its ancient languages and all that cultural background, it's full of these linguistic puzzles, right?
Yeah.
It was written in specific languages within specific cultures, you know, at specific points in history, and we need to take all that into account.
It makes me think about how we sometimes misinterpret things, even in our own language and culture. You know, like sarcasm, that could be totally lost in a text message if you don't know the person.
Oh, that's a great point. And just like a poorly interpreted text message, you know, can lead to confusion, taking biblical passages out of context that can lead to all sorts of misunderstandings. You know,
right.
It's why scholars like Dr. Wilson are so important, right?
Right.
They help us understand all those nuances, all those layers of meaning that we might miss otherwise.
So where does all this leave us with this prophecy of Emmanuel, right? I mean, we've established that Alma doesn't always mean virgin in the strictest sense.
Right.
And that this prophecy might have this double meaning. So how do we make sense of all this?
Well, Hawa Wilson, he suggests thinking about different levels of fulfillment.
Okay.
Remember, the prophecy was given to King Ahaz and all those people in Judah who were like facing a very real and present threat.
Right.
So on one level, the birth of a child, possibly to Isaiah's own wife,
okay, yeah,
would have been a sign of God's faithfulness and protection right there in the middle of their crisis.
Right. A tangible sign of hope in a really uncertain time.
Right, right. But then there's like this deeper level, right?
Right.
Pointing toward the coming of Jesus centuries later.
Right.
And that's where the name Emmanuel, you know, God with us,
right,
takes on this even deeper meaning.
Okay.
For Christians, Jesus is that ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy, right?
Right.
God literally became one of us, you know,
yeah,
entering into human history in a radical way.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to think that a prophecy spoken so long ago could have like such profound and far-reaching implications. It really speaks to the power of these ancient texts.
It really does, and it challenges us to think about how God might be working through history, right? In ways that we can't always see.
Right. Okay, but let's be honest. This is pretty heady stuff. It's easy to get lost in the theological debates and all the historical details and all that. So what is this prophecy? What does it mean for the average person today?
That's a great question, and one that we should always be asking, right? When we explore these ancient texts. You know, for me, the message of Emmanuel, it's ultimately one of hope and comfort.
You mean the idea that God is with us no matter what we're going through?
Exactly. And that's a truth that has resonated with people of faith for millennia.
Right.
It's a source of strength and encouragement, you know, especially in a world that can often feel like chaotic and unpredictable.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that verse from Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. Even when things feel totally crazy, totally out of control, we can find peace in knowing that God is present.
Yes, and the prophecy of Emmanuel, it reminds us that God's presence, it isn't just some like abstract concept, you know?
Right.
It's something we can experience in a real, in a personal way.
So how do we tap into that? How do we experience that God with us in our everyday lives?
Well, for one thing, it's about paying attention to the ways that God might be showing up in the ordinary moments of our lives, right? The beauty of nature, the love of family and friends, even unexpected acts of kindness from strangers.
I love that. It's about finding those God moments, right?
Yes.
That remind us that we're not alone in this.
And it's about experiencing God's comfort and support when we're going through tough times, right? When we feel lost, when we feel afraid, when we feel overwhelmed, we can remember that God is right there with us, you know, walking beside us every step of the way.
It's like that line from that old hymn, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn." It's that reminder that we don't have to go through life's challenges alone.
Absolutely. The prophecy of Emmanuel, it offers this profound message of hope and resilience. It tells us that even in the darkest of times, God is present, offering us strength and guidance.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground. I feel like Dr. Wilson, he left us with so much to think about.
He did, and that's the mark of a truly great teacher, isn't it?
Yeah.
They spark our curiosity and they inspire us to keep learning, keep exploring long after the lecture's over.
So for those of us who are feeling inspired to delve deeper into these topics, you know, what are some resources or like starting points you'd recommend?
Well, if you're fascinated by the historical context, I'd suggest exploring the history of the Assyrian Empire.
Okay.
And its impact on the Near East. There are some excellent books and documentaries available that really bring that era to life.
And for anyone who's like me and just like totally geeking out on the linguistic stuff,
right?
There are resources like Gesenius's Hebrew Grammar and the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon, which, you know, they might seem a bit daunting at first, but they can be incredibly helpful for understanding the nuances of biblical Hebrew.
And for those interested in the theological implications, exploring the writings of the early church fathers and how Christian doctrines developed over time, that's a fascinating journey in itself. It can really challenge our assumptions and deepen our understanding of faith.
I'm also thinking about all the different perspectives on this whole prophecy of Emmanuel thing.
Right.
I mean, Dr. Wilson, he touched on the Catholic doctrines around Mary.
Right.
But there's a whole world of theological debate on that topic alone.
You're right. There are Jewish, Catholic, and Protestant viewpoints to consider, each offering like a unique lens, you know,
right,
through which to view this passage. The important thing is to approach these different perspectives with an open mind and a willingness to engage with diverse interpretations.
This deep dive has really, really opened my eyes to the richness and complexity of the Bible. You know, it's not just a book of rules or a collection of stories, you know. It's a living document that speaks to us across the ages.
I couldn't agree more. It's full of wisdom and poetry and history and prophecy that continue to challenge us, to inspire us and to comfort us. The prophecy of Emmanuel, it's just one example of how the Bible offers these timeless truths, you know,
right,
that resonate with us on a deeply personal level.
I'm ready for more. What other fascinating insights did Dr. Wilson have to share about this incredible prophecy as we wrap up our deep dive into Isaiah 7 and this whole Emmanuel thing?
Right.
I keep finding myself thinking about Dr. Wilson's point about this dual fulfillment thing. It's really thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah, it really is. The idea that prophecies can like have like a historical meaning,
right,
and then this deeper spiritual significance, well, that like unfolds over time, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder if maybe we're missing those deeper layers in other parts of the Bible. You know, maybe we're reading some stuff too literally. We're getting caught up in the details and we're not seeing the bigger picture.
That's a good point. It reminds me of something Jesus said to his disciples. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear.
Okay.
It's like there are these hidden depths to the Bible, right? These truths that we might not like fully grasp until we've, you know, grown in our faith and understanding.
So it's kind of like the Bible is a bit like a growing tree, right? We keep discovering new branches, new leaves as we climb higher, and our perspective widens.
I like that. I like that analogy. It it encourages us to approach the Bible with a sense of humility, you know, yeah. with a sense of curiosity.
Yeah.
Recognizing that there's always more to learn, more to discover.
It makes me want to like go back and reread those passages that I thought I knew, you know?
Yeah.
Look for those hidden gems of meaning that maybe I missed before. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to do that?
Well, I would say pay attention to the questions that come up as you read.
Okay.
You know, ask yourself, what is God trying to show me through this passage?
Yeah.
How might it connect to other parts of Scripture? And most importantly, like, how might it speak to my life, you know, here and now?
You know, this deep dive has definitely like changed how I approach the Bible. I'm realizing that it's not just about finding answers, you know.
Right.
It's not just about like a set of rules. It's about having this conversation with God and allowing His Word to change me.
That's beautifully put. And remember that transformation, it's a journey, you know, yeah. it's not a destination.
Right.
There's always more to learn, more to discover, more to experience as we grow in our relationship with God.
I think Dr. Wilson would be pleased to hear that we're still like wrestling with these ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Still asking questions, still trying to understand better.
Absolutely. I mean, true faith isn't about having all the answers, right?
Right.
It's about being willing to engage with mystery, to embrace the unknown.
Yeah.
And to trust that God is leading us on a journey that's far greater than we can even imagine.
So for our listeners who want to keep exploring these ideas,
yeah.
what resources would you recommend? Where should they go from here?
Well, if you're interested in the historical context, I highly recommend the work of historians like A.T. Olmsted and H.W.F. Sags. They offer just amazing insights into the political and social dynamics of the ancient Near East. And that can really, you know, enrich our understanding of Isaiah's world.
And for those who are fascinated by the Hebrew language like I am. Resources like Deceni's Hebrew Grammar and the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon.
Right.
They can be invaluable. They might seem a little intimidating at first.
Yeah.
But they really provide this gateway into the rich nuances of the original text.
And of course there are countless commentaries and theological works that explore the meaning of Isaiah 7 and this prophecy of Emmanuel.
Right.
I always recommend, you know, seeking out commentaries from different perspectives.
Yeah.
Jewish, Catholic, Protestant,
right.
to get a sense of the diverse range of interpretations that have been offered over the centuries.
And hey, if you're feeling really adventurous, why not try learning a little biblical Hebrew yourself?
There you go.
There are some great online courses and resources available these days that make it surprisingly accessible.
That's a great suggestion. Even a basic understanding of Hebrew can unlock like a whole new level of appreciation for the richness and beauty of the Bible.
Yeah. You know, this deep dive has been such a rewarding experience. It's a great reminder that learning is a lifelong adventure, you know. And there's always more to discover about our faith and about ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. I hope our listeners feel inspired to continue their own journeys of discovery, you know,
yeah.
always asking questions, seeking deeper understanding and allowing God's word to shape their lives.
So as we wrap up this episode, yeah. I want to leave our listeners with one final thought to ponder.
Okay.
If prophecies can have, you know, these multiple layers of meaning and if our understanding of God's word can continue to grow and evolve over time,
yeah.
what might God be trying to reveal to us today that we haven't even begun to imagine?
That's a beautiful question to end on. It reminds us that the journey of faith is full of wonder and surprise,
yeah.
and that God is always at work in ways that we may not fully comprehend.
Yeah.
You know? So let's keep our hearts and our minds open to the possibilities and continue to seek God with all that we are.
That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.